The great hall was packed with nobles and courtiers, far more than would be expected to witness the testing of one minor noble. He stood nervously before the throne, between the 2 seconds who would speak for him. He was unarmed and naked to the waist, as tradition demanded. He was trembling slightly, possibly from the cold. There was a bitter chill to the air in the hall, despite all the several fireplaces could do. The hall was also decidedly gloomy. The overhead chandelier hadn't been replaced yet. Prince Louis stood to one side, together with the monk and Ironheart, surrounded by a good number of heavily armed guards. They stood grim, silent, and aloof from the brightly chattering courtiers, and paid the young noble no attention at all. Count William and the Lady Gabrielle stood on either side of the empty throne. There was no sign of Prince Dominic anywhere.
Just how badly did you burn him?
Pretty badly. But with his high magic, he should have been able to heal himself.
Magic is unreliable at the moment. The unreal is affecting everything. That's why so many of the people here are wearing swords. Swords always work.
The three of them stood closer together, inside a defensive circle of their own armed guards. The assembled courtiers and nobles seemed nervous at the presence of so many armed men at court, but nobody made any objection. They all understood the realities of the situation. Jordan looked sympathetically at the young noble waiting for his testing. It must be bad enough having to prove your parentage and your social position in public without having so many unpleasant undercurrents in the court as well. The young noble's mother and father stood by, prevented by law and custom from even approaching him. They both looked anxious but composed. Prince Dominic made his entrance, surrounded by guards. Dominic looked calmly about him, allowing the court to study his ruined face, as though daring anyone to comment. When no one broke the silence, he moved unhurriedly forward to take up his usual position. He drew level with Jordan, and the two men stared at each other past their guards. Half of Dominic's face had been burned away, leaving nubs of discolored bone showing through the dark, shriveled flesh. His right eye had been sealed shut, and his right ear was a shapeless lump of burned flesh. Flashes of teeth gleamed whitely through the torn cheek. The pain must have been appalling, but Dominic showed no sign of it. Jordan felt sickened at the sight of what he'd done. Guilt would have prompted him to speak, but the memory of what Dominic had done to his own wife kept Jordan silent. After a while, Dominic walked on and took up a position with his guards to the right of the throne's raised dais, opposite Louis. The regent stepped forward a pace, and everyone turned to look at him.
My lords and ladies, your majesties, we are gathered here in ancient tradition to witness a testing, an oath of fealty to the stone. Jonathan of Veerbrook, son of Michael and Clarissa Trelawney of Veerbrook, claims the power and prestige of blood through his father's line. Let all here witness the truth or falsity of his claim.
So he's swearing to the stone?
Like so many of the customs at Castle Midnight, the testing came about as a reaction to the time of inbreeding. For a while, it became very important to establish true claims of parentage so that the bloodlines could be salvaged without further endangering them. Over the years, the power of the stone has also helped to stabilize and magnify the various elemental magics. And of course, the test also serves to show up any unreal imposter who might try to replace a real noble. And finally, it's the main legal proof of parentage and inheritance.
The young noble stood before the throne. There was a tense, anticipatory silence in the court.
Beyond Klepto Fialis!
The stone slid jerkily out from under the throne. Jordan looked at it curiously. From where he was standing, it looked just like another piece of rough-hewn granite. Except granite doesn't come when you call it. Jordan tried to smile at his own joke, but couldn't. There was a definite feeling of age about the stone, an ominous, disturbing sense of antiquity, of having watched impassively as time passed and history became legend. He hoped that what he'd been told about the stone killing people was a metaphor or a dramatic exaggeration. It simply seemed unnatural. Jordan looked away and made himself think about something else. He pressed his arm lightly against his side, feeling the reassuring presence of the glass vial containing Victor's blood. Getting it had proved just as difficult as he'd expected. After DeGrange's treachery, Victor had become decidedly jumpy about letting sharp blades get anywhere near him. In the end, Heather had to hold his arm steady while Jordan made the necessary incision. Lewis leaned close to the monk's cowl and spoke quietly to him while everyone's attention was fixed on the stone.
Use your magic, monk. If that's not really my brother over there, but only an actor, he must be under some kind of illusion spell. See if you can undo it.
The monk's empty cowl turned briefly in Jordan's direction, and then back again.
There is no illusion spell there to undo, Your Highness.
Lewis glared at him, but still had enough sense to keep his voice low.
You swore to me that they were using a double in public.
They are.
Then who the hell's that? If that's not an illusion, then he really does look like that. My God, could Dominic have been right after all? Could that be an unreal double that's replaced Victor?
He fell silent as the regent glared at him and wrestled furiously with the possibilities. Count William gestured to the young noble, who knelt obediently before the stone. The court grew utterly silent to hear his words.
I, Jonathan of Verbrook, son of Michael and Clarissa Trelawney, swear allegiance to the Stone of Red Hot and the king who rules by its grace.
One of his seconds handed him a slender knife. The young noble's hand shook slightly as he took it, and he stopped a moment to let his hand settle before continuing. He made a shallow cut on the inside of his left forearm, and blood ran down his arm and splashed onto the stone. It looked very red and very bright against the cold gray stone. The young noble swallowed once, and then placed his left palm firmly onto the blood-stained stone. Both of his seconds knelt beside him and searched for a pulse, but they already knew they wouldn't find one. The boy's mother fainted. His father let her lie where she fell, his face slack and gray with grief. The regent gestured urgently to his guards.
What happened?
It seems the boy had no blood after all. Whoever his real father was, it wasn't Trelawney. His mother must have been indiscreet.
Jordan said nothing. Without turning around, he could tell the court was turning to look at him. Word of Lewis and Dominic's intentions had obviously got around. Well, thought Jordan, when in doubt, grab the bull by the horns, and if that fails, try a swift kick at his nuts as he runs past. He turned to face the court.